Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. We're going to talk some fantasy here. It's Football Friday, but it's also Fantasy Friday.
You need it.
What do you mean I need it?
2-3.
2-3. I have Barkley. We'll get into this later. Whatever.
My goodness, that was mean.
Barkley's going to come back at some point.
That was almost unnecessary.
Listen, a team that has Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara cannot not make the
playoffs. We're playing this week, so it's fair to start chirping.
Yeah, we are. We are playing each other this week. Let's go out to the Wester Hotline, where Kevin Cole is of Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at KevinColePFF. Kevin, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into it. Actually, I wanted to ask you before we get into some fantasy, your thoughts kind of on the Bills so far this season. And I've seen, like, you know, you look at power rankings around the web. Different sites have different rankings. And I think you guys at Pro Football Focus, I might seen the Bills be the lowest I've seen any other site. What might go into that, and what your overall thoughts kind of on the Bills through 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, the different ranking systems that we have, one of them is really just based upon simply trailing strength of the teams that they've won or lost to. A lot of that is also part of the quarterback equation, and I think there's been a difference of opinion, you could say, gently between what some people, who were higher on Josh Allen than what we are on Josh Allen. And I think how he's played this season has been pretty much in line with what we expected. And last year he was doing a lot with his legs, especially scrambling as opposed to design runs scrambling, and we've just not seen that as much this year. So the offense has been down, but the defense has been great. It's just we're a little bit less confident in defense performances going forward, especially, you know, a good performance against the Patriots, but they face some other offenses that weren't that great. So we're a little bit more wait and see as to whether or not that top three type of defense will continue the rest of the season.
One individual on the Bills that I have in a couple of places that's been great for fantasy this season, he's been productive throughout the year, and a lot of some of the conversation around here has been kind of like, oh, should the Bills go chase a number one wide receiver? Like, should they go make that trade for A.J. Green or Stephon Diggs? And it's exciting. It's a good idea, I think, but the way John Brown is playing, I'm not sure they need to do it. And for fantasy purposes, you put him in your lineup so far all five games, he's been pretty good for you. So John Brown, what your opinion on him overall so far this season, and if you think he'll be a safe guy to keep rolling in people's lineups going forward?
Yeah, I think he's really been a home run type of signing for the Bills. I mean, typically when you bring in wide receivers, you don't really know how they're going to mesh with the quarterback. His performance fell off a cliff with Lamar Jackson last year. He became really just a decoy going deep. So what you didn't really know going into this season was whether or not he was just going to fill that deep role and he wouldn't be involved in the rest of the passing game. But he's been, you know, one of the favorite receivers, obviously, for Josh Allen. Josh Allen actually hasn't been super productive with the big-time longer throws this year. So Brown's been doing it in more traditional wide receiver ways, and I think that also leaves open the possibility that he might start to get some of those long passes. So I'm pretty high on him going forward.
Is Devin Singletary still the Bills running back to own? He's had injuries the past couple weeks, showed a lot of good stuff the first few weeks of the season efficiency-wise, but Frank Gore here is coming on as of late, doing what he always does. When Singletary comes back, how would you evaluate the Bills running back room from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think Singletary is going to be the guy to own. I mean, what you really want to do is have someone, hopefully you don't necessarily have to start them, but have someone where you're going to have that upside on your bench so that later on in the season, he has a much greater chance of taking over just that workhorse type of load versus what you're going to see from Frank Gore. So I think, you know, the median projections going forward may be pretty equal for those guys, but I think the upside is definitely there with Singletary.
Let's talk about the Browns offense a little bit. That's one opponent the Bills have coming up, and I think maybe there isn't a fantasy owner more frustrated right now than an Odell Beckham owner. And I'm wondering on the offense as a whole, if you can see that coming back? Like, if it not even coming back, I guess they haven't been great all season. But can you see that offense being productive enough to where Odell Beckham will get enough volume to where he'll be getting back to the elite fantasy receiver that he's been?
I think so, although it's been discouraging, not just the fact that he hasn't had a lot of production, but you know, he's seen targets and he hasn't turned much into them, even in the successful games that they had. Now, you mentioned that it's been pretty poor, but they have had some flashes, one of those being against the Ravens. Baker Mayfield had an enormous game, and Beckham barely put up any production despite seeing seven targets in that game. So it is very discouraging with him going forward. We're all going to be relying on the squeaky wheel narrative this week to see if he is going to get the ball after you know, some complaints there. So a lot of talk about him not seeing it enough. I think we've heard Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, mention many times that he has been open. It's not that he hasn't been open, but they just haven't been getting the ball. So I mean, I'm pretty positive on what's gonna happen going forward. But the problem is they can really spread the ball out a lot there, and Baker Mayfield is really just a flip of the coin as to whether or not he's going to have a good performance so far this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. That kind of happened with Adam Thielen last week. Wide receiver, what's your overall take on the wide receiver position through the first 5 weeks of the season? Because, you know, guys like Odell Beckham haven't really come on as of late. DeAndre Hopkins really hasn't been what you thought he was going to be. Mike Evans, I mean, Chris Godwin right now is one of the top three fantasy receivers in most leagues. I mean, DJ Chark has been great, Terry McLaurin. So how have you evaluated wide receiver? It's kind of been, you know, a lot of big names not really performing and a lot of surprise guys that have really blown up.
Yeah, I think this season so far has been a step back to 2017 in some ways. I mean, 2017 offenses were kind of down across the board. Wide receivers weren't performing well as quarterback performances were down. We had a huge jump last year. It was kind of lights out performances by a lot of different guys, and then the wide receivers came back, and now we're seeing that again with some quarterback injuries and just some poor play at quarterback. So I'm hoping that the second half of the season that will come around. I think I'm still of the belief that, you know, you have to look at a longer timeline when you're making these sorts of projections. So I still project those guys to be, you know, very reliable. I mean, even DeAndre Hopkins is another guy you probably throw out there that people are very disappointed in. So I think they're going to do well going down the stretch. I would hold on at this point and just you know, hope that things are going to turn around. And I think that offenses may skew back towards some more passing going forward.
Kevin Cole is on the Wester Hotline from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Cole PFF. We're bouncing around the league a little bit here, talking some fantasy. And while we're actually on wide receiver, I mean, Will Fuller had almost the best fantasy game I've ever seen last week. He scores three touchdowns, and he had two more that were on the one-yard line. He almost had five receiving touchdowns. He didn't do a whole lot before that, so I'm wondering specifically what you might project for him, because you just mentioned Hopkins and how he hasn't been what everyone would hoped this season. Will Fuller's been a guy that's kind of been injured throughout his career, so I'm wondering, is this a boom or bust type of player the rest of the way, or do you think there will be enough targets to where he'll have a floor of some kind going forward?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins for a second. I mean, he has been the dominant target hog of anyone in the NFL the last few years. So that has just made it, you know, it's not necessarily a statement on Will Fuller, but it's just very difficult to get any consistent targets in that offense. So I think that's what we've seen from him. Yeah, I mean, I think you're still going to see, you know, up or down performances from him, but he's probably someone who you can look at maybe in the top 20-ish sort of range for wide receiver, but I wouldn't fall too in love with him just based upon that one performance.
So some big names, again, not really performing up to their stock throughout the summer. Some receivers like DJ Chark. I really like DJ Chark this year from Jacksonville. He's blown up. Are there some big names that you're maybe selling right now? Are there some, maybe somebody like a Chark? I mean, from a buy or sell perspective, how would you evaluate it? Are there some big names that you should be maybe buying low right now? How would you evaluate that?
Yeah, it's difficult to pinpoint exact guys, but I think someone like Mike Evans is probably a guy that I would be buying just because he's had that up and down. I think people are looking at Godwin and saying he's the number one wide receiver, but that could easily flip back the other direction. And what you're really buying into there is an offense that may not always look pretty, may turn the ball over a lot, but is going to throw it a ton, and it's going to be very narrow, the distribution. They don't throw it to the running backs a lot. They don't. I mean, O.J. Howard, you know, RIP, he's really not seeing anything over there. So I think when you're looking at the offenses like that where one guy has started to blow up vis-a-vis the other guy, I would look for things to potentially flip in the future.
Yeah, he's catching more balls in the Rays game than
he is
in the
Buccaneers. How do you fix tight end? I mean, this is a big question, Kevin. I mean, tight end, has been something I have struggled with for years. And they're just, it seems like there's like a top two or three every year. But then, I mean, this year, the Wallers of the world emerged, the Disleys. Right now, if you're a team struggling at tight end, I mean, is there any hope in the waiver wire? Is there anybody that will eventually get it going here? It's just, for me, tight end has been a big struggle.
Yeah, I think this year was hyped as a year where you could choose some O.J. Howard types in the middle.
Yeah, felt that way.
And do well, but unfortunately, you know, it ended up being just like a typical year, which is you go for the stud tight ends, and I think even at the top, guys like Zach Ertz, there were some question marks about how much of a dominant force they'd be in the offense. Mm-hmm. But you go top, and then you kind of figure out who the other guys are going to be in the first few weeks. I think we're far enough into the season now where it's going to be difficult to pick out guys that are going to blow up. But you know, if there are certain players available on the waiver wire, I mean, I don't know, someone like a Jordan Akins in Houston has been someone who's been involved. And again, it's a situation there where Fells has also been very involved. So maybe if he, you know, if you can just get an offense that is at least using the tight end and grab one of those guys, I think it's going to do well. But it's tough to find, you know, a Will Disley type now that they've established themselves in the second half of the season.
Christian McCaffrey has been unbelievable so far this season. I think he's on pace for almost 3,000 scrimmage yards. How special is there a way to even think about how special Christian McCaffrey's season so far has been?
No, I don't think there is, because the combination of receiving and rushing is just so rare. I mean, you guys have probably seen the numbers as far as his complete yards from scrimmage this year are on higher paces than the amazing seasons we saw in the past where running backs in 14 games were getting 2,000 yards rushing and things like that. I mean, he's topping everyone so far. So, and you combine that with a PPR league where you're getting receptions, and there really isn't much like him. It's basically Alvin Kamara plus unlimited usage plus, you know, whatever else you can throw into it. It's really is redefining things as we see it and taking it to a level beyond even where someone like Ezekiel Elliott can get to.
Couple more things I want to get to here with Kevin Cole before we get out of here. Let's running backs this week. There are two big names that might be missing, which is Todd Gurley and David Johnson. Let's just say for sake of conversation, they both do miss, which maybe it is trending that way for both. Chase Edmonds versus Malcolm Brown, the backup for Arizona versus the backup in LA. Who do you like more this week?
I like Edmonds because I don't really know for sure how the Rams backfield is going to split out. I mean, what we haven't seen much of this season is what Darrell Henderson is doing. And he was a popular guy. They spent a third round pick on him. You never know what's going to happen when they go in there. And that offense has struggled a bit too, just generally. So I think when you flip over to Arizona, I mean, this is a blow up spot for the Cardinals this week. They're going to play against the Falcons. Everyone has blown up against them. Edmonds was very productive even last week in a role where they were getting he was on the field with David Johnson, and he is a do-it-all guy. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball. He's explosive, so he could easily step in to that workhorse type of role. And I'm not even sure who else there in Arizona would be a credible guy that he could split with. Whereas I could kind of naturally see a split happening a la Gurley, C.J. Anderson with the Rams with Gurley out.
How have you evaluated the rookie class this year? I mean, there's been some standouts. I think there's been some players that I don't want to call them disappointments because they're rookies, but how have you overall evaluated from a fantasy perspective this 2019 draft class?
Yeah, I think it has been disappointing. I mean, the thing is, normally wide receivers are not going to be productive for the first year. Normally it's a second-year breakout phenomenon, and I think that's fair. So I didn't necessarily have high expectations for a lot of those guys, but they've actually outperformed, I would say, the wide receivers we've had. The problem is you're just not getting that top-notch type of performance, even out of your DK Metcalfs, your Marquise Browns, your
McLaurin's,
AJ Browns. I mean, they've had good performances, but they're just not going to give you a dominant sort of performance. So I would say they've actually outperformed, but at a lower expectation level. The running back is where it's really been the issue. No one has really taken the reins of a backfield, and that's what you would like to see. There was competition, but normally, you know, competition ends up falling away a lot of the times, and they end up just riding the rookie. So I still think there's potential there, whether it's Montgomery or Singletary or one of these guys to really take over a backfield for the second half of the season.
Last one, Kevin, and this isn't really fantasy related, but we spent a lot of our first hour here talking about the AFC and who the third, fourth best teams might be, like that next level after New England and Kansas City. And I think it's right to consider the Bills in that conversation a lot, also because of their schedule and how incredibly easy it is. I mean, Miami twice, Washington and Denver are all on the schedule in the next six games. So we both kind of settled on, we both think the Colts are right here to be considered as like maybe the third best team in the AFC. I'm wondering what you think on that overall. Like who's that next best team after Kansas City and New England, and your thoughts on the Colts, who I think we both think might be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think even in the entire NFL overall, I mean, when Breeze comes back, we'll see. But, you know, right now the Patriots and the Chiefs I put above almost anyone else. There's a pretty big gap there. Mm-hmm. I would say the next teams that I would look at are, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. I still like the Houston Texans. I know they've had some bad performances, but I think Deshaun Watson is an elite type of quarterback, so mm-hmm. that's a set quarterback I would look for. The Colts are a very interesting circumstance because they actually wrote an article this week for PFF where I was going over how their offense has changed and has really changed a lot going to Brissett versus Andrew Luck, where they're running the ball a lot. They're one of the top running teams in the league, whereas they were, you know, near the bottom before. They're taking a lot of time between plays. They are extending plays with play action, and they're kind of throwing actually shorter passes, which is interesting. So they kind of thread the needle with forming that offense for what Brissett can do. The question is whether he can kind of take it to that next level. And I think going forward, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. So I would go with the teams where I'm more secure in how good the quarterback play is. And I think the quarterback play from someone like Deshaun Watson, I would feel a little bit better about that than I would about Jacoby Brissett going forward.
All right. Kevin, thanks for joining us, man. We really enjoyed this, and hopefully we can talk soon.
Okay. Thanks so much.
There he is, Kevin Cole on the West Hur Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Cole PFF. And Houston, a lot of, you know, I get it. The quarterback, right?
I like what he said.
If it comes down to the quarterback, then you're picking
like
Houston.
Like the Bills, they're in that group. But if you had to choose one of those teams that could match the Chiefs toe-to-toe in offense in a battle or the Patriots, it probably would be Watson.
I guess we're experiencing this reality right now with the Bills and what it's like to be built from the defense out. Now, it's not the same as last year, and this is kind of, I think, what we expected. This is kind of what we talked about. I did a show on the nightcap before the season started solely based on, hey, the defense is great. What does the offense need to be for me to be a playoff team? Like, that was the conversation. The defense is great. How good does the offense need to be? And I think the recipe that we thought at the time and also what it might be right now is, hey, man, if this offense is just average, with their schedule, with this conference, and with how great this defense looks, average offense this year probably gets the Bills in the playoffs. And I think it's going that way. Now,
when do people start thinking more, though?
That's the thing. But what's also interesting is they've been an above-average offense this year. They can't stop the turnovers. Mm-hmm. If they stop, I guess I could call them an average defense then in that. Because if you stop the turnovers, then you're a great.
Well, and they've also had
offense,
to drive. They've had to sustain long drives,
which they've done.
You'd like to be able to push the ball down the field.
That's
big
right.
Chunk plays they have not had.
The two things they're missing right now is that vertical aspect of their offense and stopping the turnovers.
Yeah, definitely.
But they are putting together long drives. They're first
in the red zone.
Yep, they're one of the best teams in the red zone right now. So like there are things that are working on the offense. The run game is working.
The offensive line right now is the second best sack rate in the league.
They're playing well.
Surprisingly.
Allen's legs, I mean, you're not getting as much scrambling, like Kevin Cole just mentioned, as last year, but he's still scrambling more than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And in the red zone, he's a dangerous threat. So, to me, we're kind of now experiencing that, hey, you're comparing the Bills with everything else might be better, but like we talked about Houston. I could say the Bills are maybe better at everything else, defense, offensive line, running game, then Houston. But when you boil it down, if the quarterback is that much better, even though Allen, I think, has been good this season, Watson is special. Watson is an MVP candidate. Watson is right there up there with Mahomes and Wilson and Rodgers. And to me, that can almost make up for everything else.
Well, because that gap to me is bigger and it means more than, while sure, the Bills might be more talented on defense, you know, that definitely plays a part, offensive line for sure. But when the quarterback gap to me is that big, you know, that's a, to me, that's the game changer.
It wasn't enough for you to put them over the Bills in the power rankings, though.
It wasn't. Just because that offensive line is that bad. The defense has not been great, so...
And they keep putting... I forgot to ask him about Carlos Hyde. And the Texans running game. It's so clear who the better running back is. And they play Carlos Hyde. Like, I don't get it. Bill O'Brien, though.
Running back by committee is stupid.
Bill O'Brien is just...
I feel like Carlos Hyde is just a fantasy cockroach.
Yeah, he's just...
I mean, if it wasn't him, it was going to be
vultures.
If it wasn't him, it was going to be Lamar Miller.
No, Duke Johnson was there. Why did you have to
Lamar still would have got the carries.
Carlos Hyde
came in after Lamar Miller got hurt.
Like every year, Carlos Hyde's like good for 2 weeks.
But Duke Johnson was still going to be there. What I'm saying is, if it wasn't Carlos Hyde, it was going to be Lamar Miller vulturing.
What I'm saying is, after Lamar Miller gets hurt, don't go trade for Carlos Hyde.
Sure,
Duke Johnson your starting running back. Bring in someone else. Like bring in McCoy.
There's a stigma on Duke Johnson for some reason that. People make him out to be this Darren Sproles type, and I don't think that's fair.
I think he's just an overall good running back.
Yeah, I agree.
And
he's not some undersized running back that can't carry the football.
I'd trade for him right now. Not going to be able to do it because Houston traded for him, but I'd like to go forward with Devin Singletary and Duke Johnson as my running backs.
Yeah, pretty nice combo.
The Bills don't have a running back for next year with Devin Singletary.
I don't think you need
one. I mean, Yeldon's under contract, but...
I think people are infatuated with this running back by committee, and you don't have to. I mean, I'm more of a feature back type of guy. I think it makes you less predictable. Having a running back that can do everything, when you have a big bruiser on 3rd and 2, gee, I wonder what you're doing. 3rd and 6, so a Darren Sproles comes out. I mean, it's like, oh.
Well, I want a bunch of running backs that can do a bunch of different things. That's what New England does.
I want a running back that's clearly better, so I don't have to split carries and not have guys get into a rhythm all the time
then
and
you
just
have to,
constantly running this wheel.
But then I have to pay for a running back, and that's I never want to do that.
Not if you draft Devin Singletary, you can get 4 very cheap years out of.
Sure, and then when he wants a big contract, I'm going to want to let him go and get another third-round pick.
Big contract for running backs is not that much.
But
what you have to pay Devin Singletary is what you got to pay Marquise Lee.
But why can't I'd rather pay nothing and get the same...
Sure,
results.
If you want to get rid of, I mean, if you have like an Alvin Kamara and you don't want it, you can say, I can just go get another guy in the draft. Okay, but you're going to let that talent walk. I mean, if you're willing to make that bold.
If I was the Saints and Alvin Kamara wants a $10 million contract in 2 years, I'm going to want to draft
the
guy
in
the second round.
I think a player, a running back of that caliber is as important as an elite tight end.
No, I agree.
I'm not just willing to say, let that guy walk.
I agree, but there are 10,000 more running backs than there are tight ends. I can go draft one in the 3rd round.
Also, I think people are too stingy with money. I think there's so many ways around salary cap. I'm paying that kind of player.
Look at the last 10 third-round pick running backs before this season. It's like an 80% success rate.
I understand it's easy to find them in other... But once you have an elite one, you don't just get rid of... You don't just let them walk.
But that's the point. It's not to me about... you make a good point. Like, these guys are special talents, but it's about what it is above replacement. And if the replacement level is a lot of times me getting another star running back like that, getting another great talent like that, which when you pick running backs in the 2nd, 3rd round, I mean, you look at the guys around the league, like Nick Chubb is great, 2nd round pick. Kerryon Johnson, I think, is a really good running back. He was a 2nd round pick. David Johnson was a 3rd round pick a couple years ago. Alvin Kamara was a 3rd round pick. There's a bunch of guys in these 2nd, 3rd, 4th rounds that become so good that – once the rate and the likelihood that I'm going to find a guy becomes so great, well, it's no longer about how good you are. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Kamara's great. But if I'm talking contract with him, I'm like, I get it. You're amazing. But I can go find a guy for nothing. And
somebody's going to pay
him. 70%.
Somebody's
will. I never want to be
that. It's not a sustainable, sure, but every team can't think that way or else.
Yeah, they can.
So no one's going to ever sign out the Alvin Kamara's?
No, Alvin Kamara will have to take less money because that's what he's worth. To me, it's all about what you can do versus the replacement. And at running back, this is more true than any other position. You plug in last year with the Rams.
I don't think it's safe to say you could just replace Alvin Kamara.
Last year, Todd Gurley, who was everyone considered the best running back in football, he starts getting his knee in trouble. They bring in C.J. Anderson off the couch at home.
And look what happens this year when Gurley's not good.
Great.
Look what happens this year when Gurley can't run at that efficient level. Jared Goff and the offense can't.
Malcolm Brown was the best running, was PFF's best running back going into before last
week. They're
not
the same rushing team this year at all compared to what they were last year.
Because they're using Todd Gurley 94% of the time.
Because of the injury, that's what's hurting them.
But that's what I'm saying. Last year, they decided,
I think you're downplaying the impact of what that player has.
No, I'm not downplaying the impact.
I understand you could just find them in any...
But yeah, because teams do that all the time.
Right.
All
to me, when you find one, you don't just let them walk just based on a philosophy of I'm not paying a running back no matter what. To me, it shouldn't be that black and white.
Especially
when you have like $88 million in cap space.
Look at the Chargers. The Chargers spent a first-round pick on Melvin Gordon, and a guy that was undrafted
Better. That's a guy that averages 3.7 yards per touch.
And that's why
that's different, though. If Devin Singletary becomes a top tier, like Christian McCaffrey, you're just going to let him walk?
I'm not making the point about Gordon. I'm making the point about Eckler.
So if McCaffrey wants a big deal, you're the Panthers.
Yes.
You're letting him walk.
I'm not drafting McCaffrey in the first place. Mm. So if I drafted McCaffrey in the third round, yes, because I just got McCaffrey in the third round, I'll go get another one. Eckler was undrafted, and I think he's one of the best running backs in football. Not like an elite one, but you know what I mean? Like that second, third tier.
Yeah.
Like he's great. And you can find that guy anywhere. This is what New England does. And really, I kind of want to copy a lot of what New England
does. New drafted a running back in the first round 2 years ago.
And he's their worst running back.
He's not. They just don't let him be the full weapon was at Georgia.
That's also the only time they've ever done that.
Because James White is eternal.
Don't you wonder if just New England gets to a point where it's like, I don't even know what to do with all these draft picks, so I'm just going to...
Well, that too. Back, I'm sure,
whatever.
Yeah, they have the luxury to do that.
Belichick's just bored.
Yeah,
like,
I will say they did have a luxury of just doing whatever they want.
Maybe we'll continue this conversation. Although I want to ask you about the 2018 quarterback class.
Oh, yeah, let's get into that, yeah.
It is Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase, two bros live. 803-0550 is the phone number. Give us a call. We'll get you on here in the next segment here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, look, I mentioned this to you guys last year before he got hurt, but I think Matt Milano is a really important piece of his defense. Now, I know he missed some time in this game as well, and they ended up playing Maurice Alexander, who's actually a former safety, and then they played Lamar Alexander in that role. But, you know, I think that Milano, to me, is a really, really good player. And, you know, he's not a guy that gets talked about nationally, obviously.
There is Greg Cosell, NFL Films, ESPN Matchup. You can find that on demand at WGR550.com. By the way, someone sent along a stat for me from PFF. Austin Eckler, in the last 3 years, is the fourth most efficient running back in football.
Yeah, so, he's good.
He is legitimately good. I love him. Love him. 803-0550 is the phone number. We talked a little bit about running backs in the last segment. I want to get into quarterbacks, though, in the 2018 draft class. As it stands right now, you know, coming into the year, I think it was kind of clear, wasn't it? Like, everyone kind of agreed. Mayfield was number one.
I did not. I was on the opposite end
coming
of the spectrum.
Coming into the year,
to start that class, I was Allen and Lamar over everybody. I stood by that this entire way. So, the consensus was that I was not there.
Okay. I would still stick with Mayfield number one.
Baker was like my fourth. I liked Darnold better. The only guy I had Baker ahead of was Rosen.
But then he set the rookie touchdown record.
Yeah, like, I still...
He proved a lot
of
people wrong.
I put him
wrong.
Ahead of Darnold. I refused to put him ahead of Allen or Lamar.
He proved me wrong. I had him fifth. But I think what I saw from him last season...
Well, I don't think he proved you wrong.
Yeah, he did. I had him as
last year he did.
Yeah.
I don't think he's...
I had him as the fifth quarterback going into last year's draft class. Last season, I thought he was clear-cut the number one guy of those guys. He looked accurate. He looked poised. And I don't really think I want to put all of the Cleveland struggles on him right now. Their coaching staff... It looks like they're getting out-coached every game, except for that Baltimore game.
I know, but it just seems like...
The offensive line can't protect for
him. If the five-yard crosser is not there, he just seems like he's bailing out of the pocket, Johnny Manziel style. He's not fast enough to even evade a defensive tackle, and he's not big enough to a Josh Allen where he can, you know, take over that way.
But what Cosell actually talked about in that interview a little bit later on was when Mayfield's second reads are all down the field. Freddie Kitchens right now, it doesn't seem like his offense is designed to their weaknesses. He's not putting into account that his offensive line can't really block anybody right now. So yes, when Mayfield rolls out to the right, which he needs to stop doing that because he's doing that every single time. When he's rolling out to the right, he only has that crosser because everyone else is running routes that take a long time to develop down the field. So to me, I feel like he's not getting a lot of help from his coaching. Whereas,
but that's the Josh point, Allen, though. He's limited. That's the thing. If everything is not working perfectly for Baker Mayfield, this is the result, and that's
working.
The problem.
Nothing's
I'm not drafting,
working.
But that's the thing, though, and he's not overcoming that at any level.
Well, sure,
but that's not a first overall pick.
But Josh Allen. But what I'm saying is, right now, he's not getting the luxury of the coaching to me that Josh Allen is getting right now from Brian Daboll, and that Lamar Jackson is getting from the Ravens.
I understand that, but for me, if you switch the situations, the other guys are making more plays than Baker Mayfield is in that offense. And if I'm drafting a player first,
that's only on their athleticism.
But if I'm drafting somebody, no, and their arm strength, both of them have way stronger arms than Baker Mayfield. If from accuracy standpoint, no. But if I'm drafting a guy first overall, I understand that nothing else seems to be working. But that guy should at least be able to will you to a certain level of production, and he is almost useless.
So
the past couple weeks,
where would you put Mayfield then right now in the 2018 class?
Third, fourth, maybe ahead of Darnold. I'm not really sold on Darnold. I would put Darnold ahead. He's fourth for me. The only guy I have him ahead of is Rosen.
I just think his natural ability is just so superior to the other
it's
four.
It's not, though.
His
it really
accuracy
isn't.
Is so superior.
That's
his arm
the only
strength
thing to
is
me
right on
superior.
Par. But the accuracy to me is the most important thing in a quarterback. It's the most important thing. Drew Brees has built a all-time
so would
level
you rather
good
have Jared
career
Goff,
on his accuracy.
Would you rather have Jared Goff then than, let's say,
than who?
Carson Wentz?
Well, no, but Wentz is also supernaturally accurate.
He's
that's
at
different.
60% completion percentage right now.
That's 60. Okay, that's not bad. 60%?
Most guys aren't in the 50s anymore. So for me, Baker Mayfield, sure, he could be at 67%. But if he's not making plays down the field and Allen is at 62%, but he's taking,
but
actually
Allen,
taking
Allen
chances.
Allen is not naturally accurate. A lot
I'm just
of
using
Allen's
Allen as
completion
an example,
percentage,
though. For me,
a lot of Allen's completion percentage right now is the offense that they are running.
I'll take everything else. I think Mayfield has the advantage in one category. And while it's a very important category,
he's right
it's
there
not
arm
worth
strength.
The first overall pick.
He's right there with Jackson.
No,
arm
he is not.
With
he is
Jackson,
not.
He is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Jackson's arm strength.
Last year,
I think you're undervaluing his arm strength.
Last year, Mayfield was pushing the ball down the field a lot more than Lamar Jackson was.
I mean, Lamar Jackson was throwing to Willie Snead and Mark Andrews.
Okay. And who was Mayfield throwing to last year?
Jarvis Landry. I mean,
okay,
Callaway was a deep threat.
Routes.
I mean, I'm just saying, the Ravens had no deep threat whatsoever. They were throwing to just four tight ends.
I think if I
and Michael Crabtree.
The bigger question is where I'd put Josh Allen. And I think where I put Josh Allen right now is second.
I agree.
I think
we just have different guys number one.
And number three.
Who's your number one? Darnold?
No, Mayfield.
Oh.
And I think I have him way, like, there's a huge gap to me still between Mayfield and the rest of them. Like, I love him as a player. I think he's incredibly accurate. I think he's poised in the pocket when he has a pocket. He reminds me a ton of Drew Brees.
I think his pocket movement this year has been terrible. He's been,
when,
like you
I
said,
when
he's been bailing.
He has a pocket. He has not had one. I think when he...
I don't know, I just don't see him climbing it and hanging in there.
I think when he has the supporting cast around him, he reminds me a ton of Drew Brees. And I think that you can make him, if you get the offense around him that is actually productive and you get a good offensive line around him, you're right. He doesn't have the ability to extend plays. He doesn't. That's fair. But I don't want to build an offense around him like the Texans do with Deshaun Watson, where I just need him to save me every play.
No, but I need him to have that ability if I'm taking him first overall, and I don't think Baker has that. I think there's a ceiling with him.
You need him to be mobile?
I need him to be mobile.
Oh, no way.
It's 2019. If my quarterback can't run, you're not my quarterback. That's just my philosophy. If you can't move, there are defensive ends right now. Montez Sweat just came out of Texas A&M, and he's playing with the Redskins now. The dude ran a 4.3. If you can't outrun a defensive tackle or a defensive end, then you're not my quarterback, because then I am limited. Because if I'm a team like the Patriots and in the Super Bowl and I break that Sean McVay system and I need my quarterback that I'm paying $100 million guaranteed to make plays for me and they cannot, then that's not my guy.
In the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, Jared Goff, even a couple weeks ago against Cleveland, that defense had that offensive line. They had those receivers on lockdown, and
sure,
Goff
couldn't
make plays.
So, but what I'm looking around the league at right now is, and what a lot of what I'm seeing is, some of these older quarterbacks that are hanging around, like Philip Rivers and obviously Brady and Peyton Manning lasted forever, and like a lot of these guys that were not mobile, it seems to me that they're still, like, I get what you're saying. I think that's more important in someone's youth. Like, in someone's first couple years, the mobility is a lot more important. But once you start to get year five, year six, year seven into your career. Now it's really all about the pocket. And now it's really all about standing in there when it's third and six and throwing a strike down the middle. And that's how guys like Carson Palmer wasn't even an elite quarterback, and he lasted forever. Because these guys are naturally accurate, and they still have the arm strength, and they have the game plan up, and like it's the intellectual part of it. And I think that Mayfield right now, sure, he's struggling. But I think if you fast forward 5 years down the road, when you really never know what's going to happen with a guy's mobility. Like, I agree right now Deshaun Watson is one of the best quarterbacks in football. But at the rate he's getting hit, he's going to be going through the same stuff Cam Newton's going through. Cam Newton can't even survive a season right now because
I'm not just saying running the football like over the line of scrimmage.
Down.
I'm saying when the system
extending
doesn't
plays.
Always
no, I see,
work.
I know what
like,
you mean.
When the routes extending aren't, plays. When you have to make the play for the offense instead of the offense making the play for you, even within the pocket. Because every play isn't going to go the way that you think. Sometimes you just got to play pickup football, and you have to make a play for your team. And yes, you can do that still through the air, but
that's what I'm more worried about. I'm more worried about the six passes he makes out of the pocket than the one where he has to extend the play. Because yes, that is an asset, but I'm looking at these Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are still playing and have been going at it for 20 years, and I'm thinking a lot of these quarterbacks right now that – like, who's the next crop that's going to last into their late 30s? Like, who is it? Because Newton's not going to last that long at this rate. Luck is out of the league already. Mariota's not going to last. Winston's not going to last. Like, all these high-picked quarterbacks, Wentz and Goff might be the closest, too. Though, and maybe, like, Russell Wilson would probably be the name. But
I just say, like, when you have a Wilson, when you have a Wentz, a Mahomes.
No, you're right. It's like, a whole nother layer of
I
your
can
game
never,
that you,
I can never
that you have.
Find myself. I can never bring myself to take. Sure, when you get older, like, that is, it's probably the more important aspect. But if that guy has the ability, like, sure, maybe Baker is the more finished, more complete product coming out of college when it comes to his passing game. Yeah, that'll be there to start better than the other player. But if that other player has way more abilities, and I think I can get that passing to a certain, to a close level, then I'm taking that player every single time because they're, again, I'm an upside guy to a fault, and I'll stand by it. But you know, that's, I guess it's maybe just my quarterback philosophy, and it's why I had Jackson ahead of Mayfield. It's why I want special. I want greatness.
What did you see out of Mayfield last year that you didn't like? Because he was awesome last year.
I think accuracy wise, he was great. But again, I think it's a mobility thing. I think it's sometimes just settling with the offense, seeing your first read is open on the not giving Odell Beckham just a couple more seconds to make a play downfield. I'm seeing the read over the middle, and I'm taking it.
He doesn't have the couple more seconds. He doesn't have the couple more seconds.
But I think even if he did, he still is more of a rhythmic, getting the ball out quick type of guy.
But that's why I like him. That's why I like him, because those are the quarterbacks I see that become franchise quarterbacks, not the guys like Cam Newton.
Like Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
Like, one thing about...
There's a reason. Look at the trend. Like, the NFL is going this way.
But the one thing, like,
they're not just taking pocket passers anymore.
The one thing I don't like about how Allen's always compared to Cam Newton is when you are relying on your body like that and you're taking hits like that over a long career. We saw it with Luck, and now we're seeing with Newton. The way those guys were playing, it doesn't last. And to me, that's why I'd take Mayfield, because I don't know that. Maybe Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback, but I don't know that 10 years down the road, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, that he's not going to lose that. And if he loses that athletic ability, now what do I have? And I don't want to play from a position of fear like that, that my quarterback's body is going to break down. But at the end of the day, that's why I'm going to take what a guy's doing from the pocket, what a guy is doing with his arm. And to me, Mayfield last year was near perfect.
But you're not
he
just
threw
taking
for almost 4,000 yards. Yeah. He didn't even play the whole season. He set the rookie touchdown record. He limited the turnovers to a pretty solid extent. And I don't want to throw out what he did last year just based on five games this year.
I think you're
not
assuming
five games, because really he's only played bad in three of them.
I think you're also assuming though that other player that can run the football will never develop into that passer just because Cam Newton didn't.
I kind of do because
like if I'm
a
Patrick
see
Mahomes,
a lot of examples of that. I don't see a lot of examples of a guy
coming
into the
league hasn't really gone to this route to this extreme level ever in the like in its history.
Actually, we're experiencing
how many mobile
that.
Quarterbacks did we see get late into their careers? No. They weren't really starting in the NFL.
I think we are actually experiencing this right now. The mobile quarterbacks in the league right now that are great
they're
or are playing great, they were great right at the beginning.
They're all young.
Wentz
though.
Was good
right
away. We
haven't seen them late into their 30s because this is the first era of it.
But I'm even looking like 4 or 5 years in. Like I'm looking at 3 or 4 years. I'm looking at Wentz right now, who's one of the mobile quarterbacks. He's really good. Watson, and Wentz was good right away. Watson was great right away. Russell Wilson was great right away. Like all of these guys that looked good right away have continued to be good. Meanwhile, other mobile quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota and Dak Prescott, I could probably even throw to that. Dak was good right away. I could throw a guy like Marcus Mariota, and I'm sure that in Tennessee, they were having the same conversation a couple of years ago that, hey, he's just got to work on this, this, and this. But he's got the mobility. He's got the ability to extend plays. And if he can build on the passing game, now we have a franchise quarterback. And I see a lot more examples like Mariota that come into the league and have some issues throwing the football, and they don't develop. Because it does,
I've
I don't
seen,
see it.
But I've seen pocket passers like Jared Goff, where defenses have caught up to what that offense is doing, and now in the last 12 games, he has 26 turnovers. Because when he's in the pocket now, he's forcing things. He can't be on the run against pressure. He's terrible, and defenses have figured him out. And the Rams' offense is nowhere near what it was last year. Okay, so,
but would you rather have Goff or Mariota?
I mean, of course, Goff.
Right.
But would you rather have Goff or any of the other mobile guys that we're talking about? I'd rather
have Goff over some of them. I'd rather have Goff over Prescott.
I mean, yeah, sure, but Prescott, to
I'd rather
is...
have Goff over Newton right now, but that's a little different because he's older. But
no, I don't think you'd rather have him over any of these other young guys.
I get your point. I just think when we're looking at Mayfield versus Allen and Jackson right now.
I'll take the other two. We have not seen those guys get into their late 30s yet. Cam Newton is one of our only examples.
Luck.
Because... Yeah, and Andrew Luck. But the problem with that was they failed to build around him. They had the worst offensive line in football for his first 7 years of his career. So you can't always just say it was because he was mobile.
But, okay, but Watson doesn't have that right
now.
They failed him. Some lot of teams don't have it.
Sure, but that's a team construction problem too, though. I mean, what if the Rams didn't have that? They'd be even more worse off.
We'll talk about more of this after the break. We're a little late. It's 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. Lou just asked me a really good question in the right before we came back on air here. Is Frank Gore the last 15,000-yard rusher ever? I think the answer is yes.
Is there anybody that could?
No, nobody.
McCaffrey, but he's not getting the carry. He's getting the touches, but not carries.
This new era of running back by committee, and
if Jonathan Taylor is what he's hyped up to be, that's your last best chance.
Who?
Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin.
Why wouldn't Saquon have a better chance than him?
Yeah, him too. But I mean.
Yeah, maybe Saquon, but...
Yeah, probably Barkley and Jonathan Taylor are your last best chances.
How far off is Peterson and McCoy?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I don't think... Well,
I think Peterson's at like 12,000. I don't think he's close.
My guess would be that Peterson's closer than McCoy is. But we know that McCoy's not at 12,000 yet.
I mean, you have seen like 250-plus yard... Or 250 carries or more. You've seen
Peterson's
got definitely decline over the years.
13,426. I could see it.
There was only six running backs.
1,500 yards.
Small problem is that he's rotting right now in Washington.
Yeah, well, although they're talking about playing him a lot down the stretch.
Sure.
Well, yeah, Bill Callahan's their head coach now.
Yeah, they just want to run. He had 1,000 yards last year. Like, I mean, he would have to get to what?
Another 3 years of 1,000 yards?
Or
that's not happening.
Get to 700 this year somehow and then get to 800 next year? Like,
yeah.
He'd have to have a hell of a couple years here.
Well, and this is the thing, too. 200 guys with 250 carries. It was normally that I went back to 2009 before the show, and consistently it was like 11 running backs, 14, 12, 11. It was 6 last year and 8 the year before. It's gradually declined. So probably not. I just thought it was an interesting point because Gore just hit that, and he's been in the league for a long time, and he saw a huge workload throughout his career.
That's like almost a Hall of Fame question,
and he's also
too.
Been able to stay durable.
That's like a Hall of Fame question, too. Who? Let's say Peterson and Gore get in. What other running back that's played in the last 10 years is getting in the Hall of Fame?
Is McCoy the next best?
Maybe McCoy. But how about, like, is that
Le'Veon?
It?
Le'Veon?
No. Lynch? Man, a beast mode Hall of Fame speech would be probably funny.
They gave him the ball in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. It probably would have clinched it.
Yeah, but. Because after that, you're getting to like Jamal Charles. And is Jamal Charles a Hall of Famer? Like, that's
I mean,
where
he
you're
did
getting.
Average 5 yards a carry throughout his career, which is pretty crazy.
But is he a Hall of Famer?
No, probably not.
Running backs, it's going to be hard
for them. You also have
a
great story to you in the Hall of Fame, or else, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's the journalist committee, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's not just all about performance.
It's
clearly, see Terrell Owens. Like, yeah, Eli, I don't think maybe Eli Manning will get maybe him. Saquon, maybe McCaffrey. But I think more so you're seeing the evolution of the running back where a lot of those touches, the carries now are going away. They're declining, but the receptions are going up. I mean, McCaffrey's going to have, what, 80, 90 catches this year?
Yeah. It's a Football Friday here on WGR. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase filling in for Tasker and Murph on One Bills Live. We'll talk a little hockey in the next hour. Still some football, too, though, so 803-0550 if you want to get in. But we will talk some Sabres. They got a game tonight hosting the Florida Panthers. That'll be here on WGR at 7 o'clock. And Rob Ray at 4, and then actually Sabres GM Jason Bottrell will join Bulldog and Paul Hamilton at 716 at 5:30. So we'll have plenty of hockey for you rolling through to 7 o'clock, but some football, too. It's Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase, hour number 3 after this on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.